flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. It's a Friday, baby, and the Friday vibes are for real. Let's do this. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Do you also owe Joe Espada an apology like this show does? Yeah, John Lopez, Reginald Atatula.
Hey, don't be speaking for me.
Oh, you're not going to. Oh, no. You're going to apologize.
Hey,
you will.
I forgot to apologize. That's right. I forgot about that wrinkle. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? The door's closed.
That was literally the first thing I thought when I saw the things begin churning yesterday in Astros land. Of course, nothing is official, but we got movement, which is nice because after, you know, weeks of being like, all right, we're in this place where let's get this thing to a certain place. We now figured. Now, things kind of started going. And again, YouTube is up for you. Sports Radio 610 there. Say what's up. We'll see you in there. And then, of course, the Twitch is available as well. 610 Houston there. But things started rolling when all of a sudden we started getting news that, hey, man, the idea of Ryan Presley, right, which seemed to be the next domino for the offseason for the Astros. Ryan Presley, he became a topic of conversation as the Astros and the Cubs seemed to be moving closer to something happening.
Yeah.
Now, we knew that he had not yet waived his no-trade clause, which, of course, is the holdup on everything. But his $14 million in salary, moving that was going to be very huge. And all of a sudden, yesterday, we see, ooh, there's talks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, you can fix your outfield and be ready to go into this season.
Yeah.
And apparently, maybe that's not exactly what it's for.
Well, you can fix your outfield, maybe.
That is true. Well, I don't know. That's all something we need to
operative
talk about.
Operative word.
But yeah, okay. I'll bring this back to the thing that I started with, right? The idea of Joe Espada. This is Joe Espada. Earlier this week, in fact, was it this weekend, in fact, where,
it was earlier this week. It was like Monday.
Earlier this week. Yeah. He was stopped and asked about the possibility of Altuve returning.
Well, he has not signed with anyone, right? So we here still, open. Our arms are still open. The door's still open. There's always a chance, right? But right now, we are still in conversations with not only him, but with other free agent players. So we'll see.
And... yeah, that was the way that we responded to it yesterday. The idea.
I say he was being political.
Yeah. I was like, what you want him to say, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, that was not a lie because we got Bob Nightingale, who, in fact, jumped on with
good
PC
stuff, too, by the way.
On Area 45 last night. Well, you'll hear some of that during this segment. But apparently, there's been a engagement. Thank you. Of conversation between the Astros and and Alex Bregman about maybe having him return, and that felt like that was way out of the door. You have a third baseman in Isak Paredes, right? That you got in the trade that sent Kyle Tucker to the Cubs. You got a first baseman in Christian Walker, at least for the short term that you paid for on a 3-year contract to be your first baseman. You don't have a lot of money available, at least up until the luxury tax, and that seems to be the boundary that the Astros have kind of arbitrarily set for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does this happen? Does that $14 million make it happen? But I just appreciate that there's been an abundance of people talking now, and reporters specifically speaking about this, that there is interest in returning. Lopez, are you willing to apologize to Joe Espada for, not believing him?
Well, I will apologize for not believing him that this is happening. Because I believe it is. I believe Jose Altuve has made that offer. I believe Ryan Pressly, you know, trading him would clear some money, ostensibly for Alex Bregman. I believe that they are talking to Alex Bregman. What I don't believe is that it will actually happen. And let me explain that. We understand who the agent for Alex Bregman is, right?
Scott Boras, correct.
Scott Boras is brilliant, runs Major League Baseball, basically, and is really good at his job. And what he could be doing here...
Historically, he's been really good at his job.
Yeah. What he could be doing here is still trying to get another year or a few more million dollars out of the Tigers, Mets, or who was the other one? The
Red Sox.
Red, I think the Blue Jays are out, but the Red Sox are still in it. And saying... and so let's say they're holding their ground. He's probably saying, all right, we'll go back to the Astros then. And the Astros clearly are trying to figure out a way. I don't doubt that that's true what the Astros are doing. It's absolutely true. What I'm saying is, I think Scott Boras
is trying to extract more value.
He knows how to play teams.
But here's the thing, right? And I don't think you're wrong, right? Having more leverage. People in a market creates leverage. Yeah. Here's the problem, though. You already had, in theory, a couple of teams that could be bidding against each other in the Red Sox and the Tigers.
Yeah, but they got to add that year or that millions of dollars.
Sure. And like maybe this is, but here's the thing. And this is where I will lean on Bob Nightingale. First and foremost, this is Nightingale 3 talking about the contract that they would be, here with Bregman. It is the, according to Nightingale, it's the same contract.
That contract is still on the table, and I don't think the Astros are going to budge from it, and we'll see. You could get more per year by somebody else. Could somebody else give him more in 6 years? I'm not sure about that, or he probably would have already signed it. So I think Alex would like to come back, and I think they'd really like to have him back. So certainly, they re-engaged a couple of days ago. Maybe it was yesterday, and said, "Hey, don't give up on this. Let us know if you're about to sign somewhere."
So that is Bob Nightingale, who is a longtime insider in baseball, telling you that the Astros probably aren't budging, and it's probably it's the same contract offer that's there. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're talking about negotiation, and hey, we're going to use this against these other teams. That's been on the table. Mm-hmm. That's what's been there. I don't know that this creates new leverage there. This feels like this is really a thing that can happen in him returning. And I don't think... can you give me Nightingale 4 here? Because this was a good follow-up question by PC. Real capital J journalism here. Is this Astros contract that we're talking about, is this the best offer per year?
Per year. I don't think anybody's topping 6 years or giving them 6 years. Now, with somebody giving him more than... 26 a year? Probably. I would think somebody would be, in the $30 million range, right around high 20s or 30. So, it depends. Hey, you want a longer contract or you want, more money per year?
See, that's what I'm saying. That's my thing. It's like, they might get him. They might be able to keep him. But I also feel like there is always a reason behind what Scott Boras allows out in the media. Keep in mind, these weren't just casual beat writers. These were the national guys that were saying this.
I think Chandler Rome was on it as well.
Well, Chandler Rome, as well. But, the national guys got it, and that's not an accident. That's not an accident that happens. And so I'm not skeptical at all of the possibility. I'm hopeful for the possibility, but I see Scott Boras working.
And here's the thing, right? I feel you. This Bregman heading into his age 31 season. This is the time where you want to hit for your lick, so to say. Like, this is when you want to get that big deal. And so the idea of like this not being the best per year, but probably the most years. Mm-hmm. I think that matters in this, right? Because if you get fewer years with a higher per year, like, do you then come back around, and are you going to be able to come back to the table and extract more money your next time negotiating? Mm-hmm. I think that is a dicey proposition. So the idea of getting that 6 years for a solid amount per year is probably more appealing now that you've gone out in the market and seen that, hey, that big 7-8 year for, however many million dollars is actually not there in the same way that you thought. Mm-hmm. And now this Astros deal becomes more appealing. Now, I think
that absolutely could happen.
So I right now, I look into the camera. Joe Espada. I laughed at you saying that this was open, that you were engaged in, that was always a possibility. I said that, hey, man, you was probably just being political. Mm-hmm. I apologize for that. Now, let's fully lean into the idea, right, that he could jump in and get into, return to the Astros. Where the hell does he play? Was immediately the question that was asked. And the answer that we got was kind of wild. People started talking about the idea of a position switch, right? And this is where I will return to Bob Nightingale, because it seems like the move would be Bregman stays at third.
Yeah.
That you would take Isak Paredes, who has played. In fact, you know what? Let's go to this. Nightingale 7 here. Mm-hmm. I'll let Bob Nightingale tell you. How are we making this all fit?
Well, Paredes has played a number of games at second base. I want to say over 50 games at second base in his career. So the easy thing would be move Paredes to second base, move Jose Altuve to left field. Someone's got to play left field. And you can mix and match, too. Like, okay, yeah, maybe Paredes there sometimes. Altuve there other times. You know, that sort of thing, you know, where they can kind of bounce around. But it makes no sense to move Bregman out of the third base position because he's a Gold Glover.
I mean, that's a lot.
Woo!
I want to see
what are we doing?
That is a lot.
Your new left field, your primary left fielder, Jose Altuve,
climbing that wall, baby.
And see that's the reason why I thought Bregman, it was no chance,
because it didn't seem like there was a place to play. You brought in somebody to play that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Pena left field. Jeremy Pena can't play left field.
He's a Gold Glover too, though.
He's a Gold Glover at shortstop. And if you don't have him at shortstop, who do you have at shortstop?
Let's be very clear about this. Pena is not going anywhere from shortstop, ever, ever.
Nah, he's solid. That's his spot right there.
So scratch that. Scratch that idea. It would have to be Altuve, and then you have to start asking yourself, like, they made the moves as if Bregman was not going to be here.
Correct.
And then Jose Altuve, who obviously, if anybody in that organization has the power to sort of play GM, it is him.
And he's been on the record about how much. In fact, can you give me Jose Altuve 7 here? This was him at the end of the season talking about Alex Bregman.
After I said everything that I said about him and the kind of player and person he is, would be, like I said, heartbroken. And I'm, you know, just putting on my mind that I'm going to play with him next year. I told him as soon as the game was over that he's coming back, and, you know, now it's time to make it happen.
Man. Told him that he is coming back. He also went as far in that same interview as saying Bregman should never play with another team. Mm-hmm. And apparently that man is putting his money where his mouth is. Because he's talking about, like, willingly. In fact, Nightingale said this, that Altuve was the one who, volunteered to go and play left field. And that's all fine and good. Do we feel good about him playing left field? Because that is an Altuve that has already had a decrease at playing second base. Does he have the arm out there? Like, I was looking at Baseball Savant, which is my cheat sheet when it comes to baseball. You get into some of these, you know, these metrics and stuff that evaluate these players. When it comes to fielding arm strength, Jose Altuve, when it comes to percentiles in the league, is in the 7th percentile of the league for arm strength. Right? And I understand. Playing half of your games at now Daikin Park, formerly Minute Maid Park, that left field is smaller, right? So you're not ranging nearly as much. But when you talk about range, which, he's in the 3rd percentile there as well. Like, this is dicey for having him at left field, but I appreciate that Jose Altuve wants this so much that he's like, I'll go do something that I'm probably not very well equipped to handle and just probably not going to feel all that comfortable in, just to make sure that Bregman remains.
He's
going to
be 35 years old next season.
That's right.
35, playing a position that he's never played before that we know of anyway in the major leagues. And with the arm strength, maybe a little. Now, it is a smaller home left field.
Correct.
It is, so there he has that going for him. But the answer is no.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the stroke to make this happen.
Hey, yo.
Clearly.
Hey, yo.
Clearly, he's got the stroke to make this happen.
The bats are not the problem. No. I love the bats with this situation.
No, I meant the power to make this sort of all the dominoes fall in
place. I thought you were like, I was like, Now you add Alex Bregman back with Isak Paredes, with Christian Wilde. I was like, the lineup is going to be
that's
disgusting.
That's a given. I'm talking about the power to make this happen. But, you know, you are a general manager. You are an owner. And are you just getting too sentimental here? What is it?
Maybe, but also when you talk about, like, outfield, let's say that you're trying to fix the outfield. This is a way to, like, have some people in the outfield and, like, have some, like, especially with the bats, right? Because defense is something that you felt okay with, like, Jake Meyers playing defense, although you know, you want to make sure that that stays at a level, right? You feel like you have to. The problem is bats in the outfield,
yeah.
right? And this would get you a bat in the outfield. It'd be a real weird way to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it would get you bats in the outfield, especially when you look at, hey, another one of the baseball news items that happened yesterday is that a dude that we were just talking about with Adam Spillane on Wednesday mm-hmm. as a possibility, Jurickson Profar signed with the Braves.
Yeah.
Like, we are nearing, fast approaching, in fact,
mm-hmm.
spring training. And I don't know how many really good options you were going to have in the outfield. Not saying that that is the reason why any of this is possibly coming to fruition. And you just look up and you go, okay, this might answer some questions. Yeah. Maybe not in the most straightforward ways, but in a way that would be a level of answer. And so I kind of like it. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's just crazy enough to work. Like, that's where I am with
is
this
it?
One.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it, him being out there. Man, I'd rather put Yordan out there and have him DH, Altuve DH.
Or mix it up, you know, something along those lines.
I don't want Altuve out there full time, man.
I mean, Yordan does have a better arm as of this moment.
Hey, you might as well make him a full-time left fielder.
But that's the thing.
Point,
is like,
he's injury prone.
That's the injury factor yeah. makes that so that, like, I hear you if we were just talking about in a vacuum. The injury factor makes me go, ooh, I don't yeah. know if I, like, that was the whole idea is you want to get him away from having to play left field and he could just focus on that bat and being the baddest man in a box
mm-hmm.
For whoever comes into Daikin Park or, I mean, even when you go on the road. Right, like
yeah.
being that guy, but yeah, man, this is all super intriguing, and I mean, there's more to even get into here. But can we just stop and say I appreciate the idea that maybe you don't actually have to say bye to Alex Bregman.
Yeah, no, it's there.
Like that part about it would make me happy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. But I'll go back to I don't think it's a probability. I still don't. Little mini confession there.
Call me a sucker. I don't care.
Yeah.
We ride again. Welcome back, Greggy. Let's do it.
Hey, that salsa staying in town.
Let's go. HEB, keep that stocked, baby. There you go.
That's right.
I apologize to Joe Espada for thinking that he was just talking out of his you-know-what, saying that Bregman could be back. Baby, we're back.
Yeah.
We are so very back. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. Hope you're having a good one. Although someone did ask on the YouTube. I want to mention this. They said, if you bring back Bregman, then what was the point of trading Kyle Tucker? You were not going to sign Kyle Tucker back, and you needed to extract value. That was the point of trading Kyle Tucker. Like, now you might ask, what was the point of trading for those very particular dudes? But that's the thing about Isak Paredes. He'd be playing everywhere. Right? Like, he has the, like mm-hmm. Nightingale said, like 50 games in his career playing at second base. First base was always an option. It's one of the things we were talking about. That was the value. Plus, you know, he could really juice his home runs with that short left field porch, you
mm-hmm.
know? So that was still the idea of that. Look, as you can tell, I'm kind of hyped at the idea. Don't harsh my vibe, Lopez.
I'm not harshing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. In the loop, coming up next, longtime Texans executive Greg Grissom. Is they mutually parted ways, him and the team. What might that mean? Let's talk about that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Biggie has hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always. Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Hope that you're feeling that Friday mood as you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Someone said on the text line, guys, if you sign Bregman, do you trade Pena? No.
No, man.
We doing, man?
God, no.
We want all the baseball cards, man. We ain't trying to give up nothing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Now, that one there.
So, everybody sign here, man.
That's right. That is going to be an area of focus now. We are trying to
be the L.A. Dodgers, man.
281 says, J-Lo, don't you always say to sign the best player and figure it out later? Yes, and I agree with that. And I would want this to happen. All I'm saying is, color me a little skeptical that it will.
I just want to see who playing left field, man.
Yeah, no, well, it's going to be Altuve if it happens.
Some people are like, no, just put Isak Paredes in left field. I don't know. Actually, I need to go back and check. I don't think that I saw him playing left field for any extended period of time in his career. Yeah, I haven't seen him play left field for like a significant amount at all. He's obviously played second base, and so... But I mean, hey, that's in that part of what spring training is for. Give him a glove and see if he can go do it. So, yeah, man. And we're rapidly approaching February when, you know, pitchers and catchers will report. It's almost that time, baby. Mm-hmm. It's almost that time. All right. Let's talk about the Texans, but not on a, like, football level. This is actually an above football level because the Texans parted ways with team president Greg Grissom, who had been literally with the club since its inception. Not since it started. Like, not since they started playing football. Since its inception.
Yes.
And he had been the team president for, what, 5 years?
4 years, I believe. He was team president. And keep in mind, like, first of all, enormous shout out and congratulations and thank you to Greg Grissom. I mean, this was a guy that before they had a uniform or a logo was involved with the Texans being what they are now. And, you know, literally rose. I don't have all his job titles, but rose through the ranks in that organization. And ultimately became team president and got this organization through all kinds of transitions.
Senior VP of corporate development at one point, led in several endeavors, rather, in business sponsorship development, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Just all sorts of different business side things for the Texans.
Name a transformation that this organization has had, and Greg Grissom had his hands on it, from uniforms to rebranding the whole H-Town stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because they were sort of distanced from H-Town.
Yeah, they're really embracing the city, becoming more of a banner for
so,
the city.
And Figgy, you've worked with him a lot. I've worked with him a lot. I mean, just...
Good dude.
You know, did the work. You know, obviously rose to the very, very top. And so kudos to him. I do find it interesting, and this is what we're going to talk about, you know, because it was apparently amicable, I think is the word they used.
That is the word that they used. Of course, Cal McNair thanked him for his services, which, of course, is kind of standard fare, but I think sincere in this instance. But I don't know what the catalyst for this move would have been, and that's really what I find to be more interesting, and I imagine what our listeners find more interesting. What is the catalyst for this move? Because again, it's very clear that this is not like bad bad blood or like something nefarious, and so you do wonder like what ultimately does this, and like what does that mean for the team as a whole, for the steady hand to no longer be there.
Yeah, and one of the things that Greg said, and again, credit to him, classy move, quoted in the release, you know, about wanting to move on and other challenges and things like that. I don't doubt any of that. What I will say is there are still big things that the Texans want to accomplish.
Correct.
Like there are, it's not like he's leaving because there are no more challenges. You know, the old blackjack dealer, palms up, twist your hands, and I'm done. There are still big challenges, specifically. And forget the Astrodome. We can talk about the Astrodome a little bit because I know the Texans.
Here we go.
No. I'm saying forget it. Forget the Astrodome aspect.
By the way, someone said that that's your sentimental thing you can't get rid of is the Astrodome.
Oh, I got a better one than that. Just listen. But just forget that. They want and need, and on NFL terms, I mean, you know, it's a hell of a stadium, but they need a refurbishing, upgrading, et cetera, updating of NRG Park and specifically NRG Stadium.
Correct.
That would be a huge challenge that I feel, knowing Greg as I do, he would embrace, wrap his arms around, and really attack.
Not only that, like that's been something that he has been taking lead on trying to engage with the Harris County Sports
Authority,
Sports and Convention Corporation, whatever. Mm-hmm. That you know they are the ones. It's a unique, in fact, dynamic that the Texans have with the county and with NRG Stadium because. Most municipalities with the team that is the primary tenant of the building that they've built, it is they have a relationship where the team is responsible for maintaining and upgrading the building that they have. That is not the that's even the relationship, the one that I just described, is the same for the Astros with now Daikin Park and the same with the Rockets for Toyota Center. It is not the dynamic for NRG Stadium and the Texans. And so what has happened is over the course of this, 20 plus years where you've had NRG Stadium, it's been the county that's been responsible. And that's directly in response to the Astrodome where that situation was the case. And they felt like the Astrodome fell into disrepair. And so the county in trying to counteract that was like, no, we'll take we'll have this entity that'll take charge of doing that. But one, you know, were they going to did they actually ultimately have the funds to take care of it and do the upgrades that it typically keep up?
Yeah.
And two, like, did they just have the will to? Like, did they have the inspiration and the motivation to? And so I think that that has allowed NRG, which is a fine stadium, don't get me wrong, but to maybe, I mean, and it is a little, it's quickly, weirdly enough, becoming one of the, I guess, older of the stadiums without being like the classic stadiums, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you found yourself in a place where now the Texans want to have some of those advancements, but the dynamics that currently exist within that have made that tough. And so finding a way to mutually agree with the city and with the county and find a level of, I don't know, diplomacy within there, for lack of a better word, has been a challenge, clearly. And I do wonder if, like, now the opportunity, especially as Greg has been actively working on this, if this is now an opportunity to have some new blood and new eyes in the conversation that can maybe push that forward, because that feels like the biggest thing that they're undertaking right now. That's the biggest, one of the biggest sources of revenue for any team.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. As much as they said amicable, and as much as Greg Grissom said he's leaving to pursue, quote, other opportunities, to me, this is the opportunity everyone wants to pursue. You're president of an NFL team, and it is at a tipping point here. At a crossroads of we've got to upgrade the stadium. We want to update it and make it better for everyone, from the players all the way to the fans and the fan experience.
So, and you're right. That goes to the full park, especially. And this is where a lot of sports stadiums and venues are going, is they're not just the experience in the arena, which is necessary to upgrade, I think. But then also, it is the building of, like, the district around it, like making an entertainment district around it. And I think everybody understands, like, hey, the tailgate culture has built, you know, with the Texans, which is fantastic. But that built out of necessity of, hey, there's not a lot of things here. And I think that that's something that you want to push forward. And that, like, you know, kind of development is something that a lot of these teams you're seeing across the nation have been garnering more money, more revenue from. And I think that the Texans probably would love to have that additional amount of development outside of just the stadium itself, but like that area around the entire NRG Park, and then also Rodeo included, because they're you know, partial tenants as well, finding a way to have that new step forward. And they're right at the precipice of trying to figure that out. So I think that at least my immediate thought was, I wonder how much of that factors in.
And what I'm saying is this: I believe it was amicable. You know, I could see Greg saying, hey, you guys have been great to me. I've loved it. And I could see the Texans saying, you know, you've been incredibly loyal. We've loved it. But I also feel in that vein, this was an opportunity that, first of all, Greg Grissom has a better relationship with the county than I would guess just about anybody over there.
Probably.
And you're going to, Greg Grissom has been working on this.
Or probably, at least there's a level of familiarity. I don't know what the relationship
I would guess
is.
harder and more focused than just about anybody over there. So I think it does come down to, hey, thank you. Hey, no, thank you. But we do want someone else in there, maybe with a better experience at stadiums, maybe with new blood, as you put it. So I do believe it was amicable, but I also believe this was an opportunity that Greg probably would have embraced, but it's not going to be him.
You know, sometimes divorce is a good thing.
There you go.
From 713, Jack is coming back, baby. Don't you dare put that evil on us. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Rebuke that.
Rebuke you. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and bind that. Put the blood of Jesus on there as well. From the 832, tear down the Astrodome, and you have all kinds of room to do whatever the hell you want. And I think that that's
all right. Let's go. Let's talk.
No. Down. I think that that's probably part of like all of this is because again, that is also within the purview of the county, and so I do wonder. Finding ways to get those things done because it's clearly been something that's been tough to get over the goal line in whatever negotiations, whatever conversations. And again, that feels like one of the high business priorities for the Texans in working with the county. And that's immediately where my mind goes in the dynamics within there. And so salute to Greg Grissom on a fantastic career. I guess I want to come back around and say that. And somebody also asked, how old is he? It might just be that he is ready to retire. Mm-hmm. It's possible. I don't know. But
he wasn't.
Okay, because I was like, that was not the tone
that
or the tenor.
That brother got too much pep in his step to retire, man. Yeah.
Right, and that was not the tone or the tenor of the release that was given by the Texans. So it'll be interesting to see who ultimately takes over that role as team president and what they're capable of doing. Because I think that if I am right, and this has something to do with like stadium redevelopment and even like just the general landscape, that means a lot when it comes to fan experience. For the Texans fans, and that is something that we've talked a lot about with the Texans. So we'll see what that goes. I think that this might be a first domino.
Y'all remember this cartoon called Doug?
Yeah, of course. Of course I remember
Doug.
I grew up on Doug. What you mean?
Hey, what are you
doing? With Skeeter
doing?
And everything. Yeah, man. Patty Mayonnaise.
Just apropos of nothing. I was just wondering if you remember
what are
that.
You doing,
just
man?
If you remember that cartoon.
You're in the loop. That was so indelicate, bro.
Oh hey, shout out to everybody over there, man.
That's right.
What you doing?
I don't know.
I'm asking you if you remember a cartoon.
No, you aren't. Because when I started talking about Doug, you ain't give me nothing. See, I always got time to talk about Doug.
Football head.
That's Hey Arnold.
Oh, that was Hey Arnold.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, my God.
I got him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's go to break.
What is happening?
Let's go to break,
man. My bad, people. Sorry about that.
To be fair, that's not really your era.
It's the same vein.
That's not your era. All right, in the loop right here on Sports Radio. I appreciate the synergy that happened there. In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. In honor of Altuve just not being able to quit Alex Bregman. He's standing on business, standing 10 toes down. He said, I'll go to left field behind keeping Bregman here. What is a sentimental or nostalgic item that you just refuse to quit, that you cannot let go of? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, let's get into the question of the day. You will know, or if you don't know, I will remind you, because that's probably the way I should handle this. Alex Bregman, because I keep wanting to do Altuve, but Alex Bregman.
Albe. Alve. Right,
we're just going to try and put them together.
Yeah.
That's very weird. But it's my fault, so I will take responsibility. But yeah, Alex Bregman, don't, you know, hold that thought. Hold on, my friends, because it's still possible he might return to the Astros. Multiple reports happened yesterday indicating that they've reengaged conversation. In fact, Bob Nightingale was on our very own airwaves on Area 45 last night. That's one of the reasons why you got to keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And Bob Nightingale talked about the notion of the reengaging of conversations, the possibility of moving things around, and that Jose Altuve, that time I wanted to say the other one, Jose Altuve volunteered to move from second base, his home for his entirety of his major career here in Houston, to left field in order to accommodate a return of Alex Bregman and a reshifting of the defensive infield, which, by the way, would be a pretty solid defensive infield.
Oh, for the infield would be great.
Like, it'd be a really
Gold
good
glove
defensive
at third.
Infielder.
Obviously, you have a guy at second that would be, it would be great.
Yeah, so, clearly, Altuve refuses to give up.
Can't quit him.
Alex Bregman, and that got us thinking, what is the item or thing for you that is so nostalgic or sentimental that you refuse to quit? 713-572-4610. You are about to be grossed out. Trigger warning.
No, you're
Lopez,
not.
Lopez, what's your answer?
All right, so I think starting in high school, I got this feather pillow that I just loved, and it was just the right amount of feathers. It was soft. It was cuddly. And so I kept that feather pillow through high school, through college.
Mm-hmm.
Through the early years of marriage.
Y'all hearing it?
Through the first few years of children.
Are you hearing it?
I had that feather pillow at least 25 years.
You're nasty.
No, well, hold on. It was sentimental and to the point where there was like a brown stain on the actual pillow from all the oils in your face and head and everything.
So you actually use this
every night.
Oh.
Every night.
That's the thing. Like, you're can maybe clean.
No, here's the thing. I washed it. I would put at the end. I ended up putting like 3 pillowcases on it just to keep it, you know, kind of fluffy. And
that didn't tell you nothing? That didn't tell you nothing.
But it was about the size.
Not 2, 3.
On each side of the pillow, there was this kind of brownish yellow stain from all the oils over the course of your life. That was there, but I would clean it.
And what eventually got you to throw it away?
I didn't. My wife threw it away.
Exactly.
For me.
Like I said, you're nasty. You're nasty. Thank you. That is correct.
Here's the kicker, though. Not only did she throw it away, I currently have a pillow that I've had, another feather pillow that I like, that I've had for at least 10 years.
You didn't learn your lesson.
Like, you grow attached. I grew attached to this pillow. It was
Another pillow.
No, it was the perfect pillow.
And you got another pillow that was the perfect pillow, huh?
After a while, yeah, it took a while, but now I've had it for about 10 years.
Unbelievable.
And my wife is threatening to throw that one away, too.
And God bless her. Honestly, God bless her. 2 PSAs. This is why you need a woman in your life or a significant other, depending on what's happening. But, like, particularly for heterosexual men, it's usually a huge development point in your life of a certain age when that woman comes to your life and gets your wardrobe better, gets you, you know, getting a better haircut. Right. Looking looking like a grown man. Mm-hmm. And then apparently having you make sure that you change your bedding. And
sometimes when I would fluff up this pillow after I cleaned it, you know, like little bits of feather would start flying around in the air and stuff. And
were the feathers brown, too?
I don't remember.
That's a yes. Oh, my God. All right. So, yeah. Sorry. I hope that trigger warning did enough for you because Lopez. Go ahead right now. If you can go get you a new set of pillows. It don't cost that much.
Not me.
Just laying in all that filth, flarn,
look at this.
Filth.
From the 832, I have my feather pillow from high school. I'm 57 years old.
Friend.
My wife calls it a petri dish.
That's right. And let me be your real friend here because apparently no one else is trying to be a friend to you. Get a new pillow. I promise you. They're still good. In fact, they make even better ones now. There's technology and such. Please, please, for your own sake, so you're not breathing in all that face dust that you've had from decades. Get your new one. I beg and plead. But my answer to the sentimentality is a lot less nasty. In fact, it's very, very not nasty. It is a painting. It is a painting of a little boy sitting on a ledge in the snow playing a saxophone. And it is sentimental to me because my mother purchased it when I was very, very little, saying that it reminded her of me.
All right.
And I ended up actually like playing music. I played percussion and drums and such. And so, like, I've always loved music. And so she had it on the wall in my childhood house for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college and I was like, Mom, can I take this? And she was like, yeah. And so I've literally had it on the wall of every place that I've lived in. And so that one, I feel like I'm going to have on the wall of
is
every place
till the day I die.
Is it falling apart?
No, it's in great shape.
Yeah.
And if it started falling apart, I'd get it reframed or what have you. No, that one is going with me till I go.
So things I can't get rid of, man. I was telling y'all earlier, I got a box full of wires and cords and stuff because
you and every other guy.
Yeah, I'm such a nerd because, you know, like right now I'm in the process of finishing my studio in the house. And so I just got all these wire cords and cables and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And my wife was like, you need to get rid of it. You don't need all of this. I'm like, but I might need it.
No, you don't.
I don't know.
I might.
When
need
are you
it.
Gonna use a coaxial cable again?
You never know,
yes,
man.
You
might.
Yes,
you might find
you
something. No.
Get rid of that USB-A. You in know. There. Yeah.
I did get rid of some.
That man
of those.
Got a VGA cable in there,
yeah.
Ready to plug in a printer from 1999.
Yeah. No, I got all type of crap in there, but I just got to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm gonna probably put it in the attic just. Just in case.
Yeah.
You never know. I just can't get rid of it.
Your coaxial cables are more of a waste than my pillow. My pillow serves a purpose.
That's a nasty purpose, though, man.
It's awesome.
Stop bringing that damn pillow.
My cables ain't spread no germs.
Oh,
and
my
pillow.
Right. My pillow's not either.
Yeah, it is. Some other things that have come in on the text line. In fact, shout out to the 409, former double A pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I found out they still have
Beaumont.
Not, I don't think it was Bowman.
No, I said the 409.
Oh.
It's around Houston.
Beaumont. Yeah. Sorry, I was like, I don't think that there's a Beaumont AA team. I might have missed some if that was the case, but my bad, I misheard. But however, they said they kept their first home run ball from when they got to pro baseball. That's got to be crazy. And then also, they also said they had their high school game ball when they struck out 17 batters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the you got to have that in the man cave in a nice case for sure. Some other things that came in. Let's see. By the way, someone said, Figgy, it's okay to throw away the RCA cables. You can let that one
go. Hey, you never know, man. I still got the red, white, and yellow cables.
They're done. Throw them away.
You know, really don't need those. Somebody from the 713, this is real sentimental, and this is going to be tug at your heartstrings. So, again, trigger warning. I kept my dog's first collars from when they go from puppy to big puppy.
Yeah, I still have Gibson's collar.
Yeah, I still got Stanley. Yeah.
Where do you keep that? Like, is that
it's hanging by my chair?
Okay, yeah. You got to find a way to display that. So I feel like it's weird to just have that like in the junk drawer. You know what I mean?
I kind of got his.
It's not the junk drawer, but I had a little can for Stanley with his toys and little stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I just kept it, and I never got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
COVID was actually started by J-Lo's pillow.
I would not doubt that.
Yeah. It's all tight. It's Rona on there. It ain't even COVID. It's coronavirus on there, man.
That's right. There's a few versions of the flu in there as well. Yeah. From the 346, they got the first 13 Spawn comics over 20 years, and you can't let them. No, of course. Those are collectibles at that point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's one of the things we talked about with Sean when we were talking about him before the show. He brought up like some SIs that he had from damn near his childhood, just a large collection. At some point, they're really valuable, but even outside of the value, like he talked about, he doesn't display them, but when he moves and has an opportunity to go in there and look at them, you just sit down and sit with them for a few hours and like just kind of reminisce. That's worth the price of toting those things around in my feeling.
Yeah, he's got me thinking about going up to the attic because I still have all my SIs from as far back as I think it was 1973. I got that subscription.
What you gonna do with them?
I don't know. I should frame them because I've got some really cool ones, Larry
Bird.
Bring
them up here and pass them out.
Pass them out.
Yeah, that's right, man.
You want one?
You ain't doing. Yeah,
I'll see if I can go into the attic. This weekend.
Now, when I talked about magazines, I didn't anticipate this one, and that's probably on me. From the 713, they say they got some old Playboys from back in the day.
My brother kept all his. I never was a big collector of that, but when he died, we went through his stuff. He's got stacks and boxes.
I feel like that's
Playboys.
That's a great way of telling, like, just, you know, different eras.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where you had to be a connoisseur of some sorts.
It was a hairy experience.
All right.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Come on.
What?
Lord have mercy.
What is wrong with you?
I said it was a hairy experience.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, man. Thankfully, the kids.
Y'all are the minds that are going in weird places, not mine.
God bless. But yeah, that is something that we don't necessarily have to worry about in the same way. Like, clear my browser history or whatever when I pass. Back in the day, it was just like, hey, so there's a box, right?
In
the back of the closet. Before they come cleaning, I need you to do something for me. You understand? You hear me? From the 713, can't get rid of my cassette tapes that I keep in my double-sided tape.
See, now those might come back. Albums came back.
I don't even know I don't think they'll come back.
You never know.
I do think that there is a value.
They're trying to make them come back, though, for sure.
Like albums, because I had all my
cassette tapes not coming.
I went to a couple.
You don't know that.
But see, I went to a couple concerts, and it was some artists that was actually selling cassette tapes. They had cassette albums, and I was shocked, but I don't know, man.
Hey, I had all my albums, and now my son has them because he's got, I mean, it's a thing.
I still got some of my DVDs, and I don't have a DVD player at all.
What about VHS? Is that going to come back?
My pop still got a bunch of VHS.
But that's the thing is, I'm also not mad at you keeping some of these things because with everything going digital and seeing the way that like streaming sites are like, hey, we got this movie. And you're like, hey, I would now like to watch that movie. And they're like, actually, that's gone to the ether. You can't find it. Good luck. I'm like, actually, you should probably keep a little bit of the physical
media. I got a DVD, one of my favorite movies, The Warriors.
All right.
Like, I'm never giving that away. I don't know if I'm going to have a DVD player again, but I'm never giving that away, man.
Oh, okay. See, now 713, keep that pillow. Just don't use it. They said their feather pillow is their ex-girlfriend's from when she would stay over. Oh, okay. Maybe don't keep that one.
They
said when they met their wife over 20 years ago, she started using the pillow and still does. Okay.
But does she know it was your ex's?
Yeah, that's a great way to get her to throw that pillow away.
Oh, man.
Did I ever tell you why I had that pillow?
Yeah.
All right.
Boy, if that pillow could talk.
All right. That's three. You had three of them in this segment.
I didn't do anything.
This brother rolling.
He is wilding on a Friday. It is definitely
it's
a Friday.
It's the first hour, man.
Crazy Friday. That really
we
is.
We got three more hours to go.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody said they still got a bag of G.I. Joe's. Oh, no. Bring those things out. Let's
those
have
cool.
I will play G.I. Joe's with you. I just want to have that childhood moment again. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, from the 979, and with your nonsense, they said it was a sticky situation. 713 said it was a hard experience. All right, y'all. I'm very disappointed in all of you. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's keep this going into hour number two of the program as we'll go around the NFL, including the newest Raiders coach, the mess that's happening in Jacksonville and what that means for the Texans. Plus, a Texans coach is on the move. We'll talk about all of that next.